Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome into the Bulls Talk Podcast. Mark Schanowski joined by my good friend and partner Kendall Gill as we get closer to training camp. It's about 6 weeks away. And you know, right now it's kind of the slow period in the NBA, but you have guys out in the community doing charitable work and running camps. I know that you paid a visit to Jabari Parker's camp last week, and it's a great thing he's doing for the kids. Over 300 kids free of charge getting a chance to meet an NBA player. And, and the neat thing was, one of the days a lot of Jabari's teammates came and said hello to the campers as well, giving them a chance to meet some real NBA stars.
I heard Laurie showed up, and who else showed up? I think
Antonio Blakeney
showed up.
A couple other guys.
So that's good that they're supporting Jabari, even though he's the newest Bull. And it's great for the kids. You know, I went over to the camp. They were really working hard. They did a lot of drills. The camp was run professionally. So, you know, it's a good thing for him to be the new player, but come in and give back to the community right away.
It's funny, you know, that one of the mottos in life is to pay it forward. And Jabari told a story about when he was a young guy, he went to a free camp that was put on by Juwan Howard.
Oh, wow.
And he said to this day, Juwan Howard is a mentor of his. And I guess that's something you can relate to, is that, you know, you get a chance to talk to older players when you first break in the league and find out what they do in terms of giving back to the community and running camps like that. And it kind of sustains itself going forward.
Yeah, it does. And you should always, you know, reach back and do something for your community. In my case, I did something for the University of Illinois in Champaign, the Cunningham Children's Home there, where I helped build a boys' home and help generate money to build a new school and facility for the kids down there on the campus, which we're 75% complete on the school. So, you know, as a professional athlete, you have to realize, listen, I'm living a dream. I'm making millions and millions of dollars. At some point, you know, I have to make some type of charitable donation to the community in which I come from.
Speaking about giving back, this is what I was planning on talking to, but it just struck me, but LeBron James did in his hometown of Akron, starting the I Promise School, where everything's taken care of for the kids, the best technology, they actually have meal service for them and everything else. I mean, what a statement he's making in terms of wanting to help his hometown.
Yeah, you know, listen, LeBron has received all the criticism in the world, some criticism from us from time to time, because we're competitors, we want to beat him. But off of the court, and even on the court, you cannot say anything bad about LeBron James. He's a guy that grew up without his dad in the household. But if you look at him, he's a family man, has three kids, has never been in trouble off of the court, and always does the right things. Business-wise, he's a successful businessman. So this guy is a true success. And you know, it's great that he reaches back. And, you know, I heard his interview the other day when he said he used to ride his bike around Akron, you know, and used to ride up the side streets. And as he was coming to the school for the dedication, he remembered all of that. And, you know, that's why the kids always still have bicycles, too, to get to school. You know, I think it's just a great thing. One of the best things that an athlete, a professional athlete, has done anywhere at any time.
Yeah, we definitely applaud LeBron James for that. And you mentioned the bicycles. Each kid who comes to school gets a bike.
And you know what? Not only the education in the school, but they get meals and everything. I mean, that's great. I wish I had that one.
Maybe that's something we'll see other pro sports stars do going forward. A great example set by LeBron James. But, you know, we're talking about Jabari Parker, and one of the interesting things, I haven't had a chance really to talk to you in this format since the signing, and, you know, the fact that they're asking him to play small forward.
Yeah.
And I know that he's trying to drop a little weight to get ready for that, because his whole life, you know, he was really more of a four man.
Right.
It's going to be an interesting challenge for Fred Hoiberg and his staff to try to figure out the best ways to utilize him on the offensive end and make sure he's not getting exploited on the other end.
That's true, but, you know, the only small forward that really scares me is Giannis Antetokounmpo, who at 6'11", I don't know, he plays all over the place.
Yeah.
And the guy who really just left, LeBron James, in the Eastern Conference, you know, and Jabari knows he has his work cut out for him. He knows he has to drop weight. He knows he has to focus, despite what he says about defense. He knows he has to focus on the defensive end. So I'm not really worried about him in that regard. I'm just worried about whether he can hold his weight down, because I think that when you get in the league and as you get up there in years, and he's still very young, I mean, but this will be his fifth year coming up, you have to control your weight, because that's when you're susceptible to injury.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to bring your weight down, you know. And you know, I don't want to see Jabari have another injury, which I don't think he will.
Yeah, especially coming off two ACL repairs.
Especially coming off two ACL.
Don't want to be carrying too much
weight.
Right,
so that's where physically his conditioning is probably the most important thing for him at this point in his career.
Obviously, you know the experience of playing in your hometown. You played one season with the Bulls and, of course, played your college ball at Illinois. Mm-hmm. It's going to be really difficult for him to go through that, because obviously he's just up the road 4 hours in Milwaukee. Now he'll be playing his home games at the United Center, and there's so many people mm-hmm. that want tickets and they want to talk to you before and after the games.
Yeah.
Can it be a distraction?
It can be. You know, I didn't realize, and I was a true veteran when I came mm-hmm. to Chicago, but I didn't realize what a distraction it could be, because you grew up here and you know so many people, and when you're out there warming up, you know, you don't want to be rude to anybody, but you want to, at the same time, you want to be focused on your game. You know, and sometimes you have to ignore the people that are calling your name, and they could be really good friends. And,
sure.
You know, you don't want them to feel bad or anything, or feel that you're slighting them in any way, but you have to let the people know that are close to you. Listen, when I'm at the game, I'm focused on business. After the game, then we can talk and everything. Mm-hmm. You know, once they realize that and you have somebody else take care of your ticket requests and everything, then you'll be okay.
In my latest NBA Buzz column at NBCSportsChicago.com, I wrote about the rotation issues for the Bulls. And, mm-hmm. you know, Jabari starting at the 3, Zach LaVine at the 2, then you've got three guys who are competing for backup spots. That would be Chandler Hutchison, the first-round mm-hmm. draft pick, Denzel Valentine, and Justin Holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those guys are going to get minutes. The third isn't. Do you think there might be another trade coming, or how does Fred handle that?
There might be another trade coming, because you have a lot of people at that position. And then you got to throw Blakeney in there, too,
mm-hmm.
who may vie for some minutes. You know, I think the odd man out is, unfortunately, Justin Holiday. I know he's been a good trooper and a good company man, but Chandler Hutchison, he's a talent. He's going to play. You know, Denzel Valentine improved drastically last year with his shot, and I'm sure that he's put a lot of work in throughout the offseason. So, you know, I look for those two to back up Zach and Jabari.
Yeah, and the thing with Justin Holiday is that towards the end of last season, the Bulls were sitting him out of certain games,
mm-hmm.
partially because they wanted to lose and partially because they wanted to see some of the young guys get more extended playing time. But I think a guy like Holiday, who can play the 2 and the 3,
mm-hmm.
who can get hot from the outside, might be a decent bench player for a contending team. It might be a good opportunity for him as well.
He might be, and, you know, it probably would be in his best interest to move along, because right now the Bulls are in the development stage of developing their young players. And really, at this point, this was the case with me when I came here after Bill Cartwright was fired. You know, the playoff picture was scrambled, you know, because they thought that we were going to make the playoffs that year. So, you know, you no longer you focus on developing your younger
right.
talent, and that's where the Bulls are at this point. And that's unfortunate for Justin in this role. But as you said before, could be a possibility for him with another team that's a contender.
I don't know if you saw the video of Zach LaVine playing out in that pro-am in Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
He looked nice.
He looked really good. The way they throw the ball off of the glass and him dunking the basketball.
Easy jumping.
Easy jumping. And, you know, now he's had one full year to recover. I think that we will see the real Zach LaVine this year. No minutes restrictions. Hopefully he'll play with the same lineup for consecutive games. And he won't have any rust. You know, because now he's going to go through he's had a full summer to train. He's going to have a full training camp, and he's got his body back now where he wants it. So,
You know, we talk about rotation issues. They have a similar situation up front where, you know, you've got guys that are want to command starters type minutes, mm-hmm. and they're not going to be available. I mean, you got Robin Lopez and Wendell Carter Jr. Let's say at the beginning of the year they split the 48 minutes, so that's 24 mm-hmm. each. You look at the power forward spot, Lauri Markkanen's got to play 32 to 36 minutes.
Yeah, he does.
So that means Bobby Portis, coming off his best year as a pro, is going to be saying, hey, what about me? I want to build off the numbers I put up a year ago. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing with Portis is he and his representative are talking with the Bulls right now about a contract extension. Mm-hmm. The deadline for that will be opening night of the regular season. So if they can't work out a deal, that means Bobby would be a restricted free agent next summer. And if he doesn't have that security of a long-term contract, he's going to want to get his minutes so he can keep his numbers up there. Yeah. That could be a potentially tough issue as well.
It would be a tough issue if Bobby is not signed going into the season. Mm-hmm. I think if I'm the Bulls, I have to take care of the guy right away, because to me, he's one of the most important bench players in the league. You know, not just for the Bulls, but I mean, he gives the Bulls that offensive the offensive spurt that they need coming off of the bench. He gives them a guy that can play both the four and the five. He spreads the court, what you want in today's modern five, as a stretch five and as a stretch four. And he's improving, and he's still very, very young. You know, you want to keep your young talent, you know, around. I say this all the time. The Charlotte Hornets made a big, when I was with the Charlotte Hornets, myself, Larry Johnson, and Alonzo Mourning made a big mistake in letting their young players go elsewhere instead of keeping them there. You know, pay the guys, keep them there for 4 or 5 years and see how it turns out. I think that's what you have to do with Bobby Portis.
The problem is, from a lot of fans' perspective, is they're always looking to make this grand move, the home run move, signing a big-name free agent. Mm-hmm. If you give Bobby Portis an extension at whatever the figure is going to be, it's going to be north of probably $12 million per season. Mm-hmm. That will probably take you out of being able to pursue a max free agent next summer. Would you make that commitment to Bobby Portis and give up that chance? What's your perspective on that?
Well, you also have the possibility of not bringing Jabari back.
If right,
Jabari
that's $20 million out, there.
$20 million on the cap. So I'm not worried about that at this point. You know, I still have things to play with. If the Bulls want to go after a free agent that has a name and talks get serious, then you have that ability to renounce that contract. So Bobby Portis, to me, should be a mainstay off of the bench. I mean, he's accepted that role, and you know what you're going to get from Bobby each and every night. That's why I signed him.
Yeah, I think that one of the things, especially, as I said, from a fan's perspective, it's always that pie in the sky thing, that the next thing is always going to be better.
Right.
This is one of the youngest teams in the NBA right now. If you mm-hmm. if you have some continuity where these guys can grow together, that should pay some positive results on the court, shouldn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, and that's why I just said, you know, you want to keep your players together, because if you continue to ship guys in and ship guys out, you're never going to develop any continuity where you have to see whether these guys can play well together. You look at the Golden State Warriors. They've kept their main core together. That's why they have been successful. I think that's one of the problems that the Cleveland Cavaliers had when LeBron James was there. They didn't keep all of those guys together for a number of years. You know, but you watch the Boston Celtics, I guarantee you the core of those guys will be together for about 4 or 5 years before they make any moves.
Unless Kyrie Irving leaves next summer.
Unless Kyrie Irving leaves next summer. And I hear he wants to go to the New York Knicks. So, you know, we'll see what happens with that.
Whether you're on the go or stuck at work late, don't miss a second of your Chicago Bulls. All NBC Sports Chicago games, including pre- and post-games, can be live streamed on the NBC Sports app. Wherever you are, you're there.
You're listening to the Bulls Talk Podcast. Mark Chanowski and Kendall Gill with you. And I want to talk about something that came out yesterday, was the over-under totals projected by the Westgate Sportsbook out in Las Vegas. And that's a well-known sportsbook. They get a lot of traffic, and they're usually one of the first ones to set these over-under win totals. And I was amazed at the lack of respect shown the Chicago Bulls. They have the third lowest projected win total at 27.5 wins. I mentioned in my column, and I advise anyone who's listening, if you've got access to Las Vegas and you can bet, put some money down on the over for the Bulls. They've got to win more than 27.5. They won 27 last year when they weren't even really trying that hard.
And they got better. And they were trying to not win.
Yeah.
So, listen, I can't believe that you have the New York Knicks, the Cavs, who just lost the best player in the league,
mm-hmm.
the Orlando Magic, are you kidding me? Brooklyn Nets, Charlotte Hornets, Detroit Pistons, Miami Heat. Well, Miami, maybe. I could see the Miami Heat. But these other teams, I cannot see them in front of the Bulls. I think that the Bulls got a lot better this summer. You know, with
no question about it.
Yeah, with Chandler Hutchinson, with Jabari Parker. That's three guys that mm-hmm. you can really build around, along with what you already have in Lauri Markkanen, Zach LaVine, and Chris Dunn. Now you build around that, and also you have a veteran in Robin Lopez. I think, and I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said, "Well, what do you think about the Bulls?" And it was a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I think they make the playoffs. And then he says, really? I was like, yes, really. I think that they make the playoffs because I think that after the top four teams in the East, I think that the Bulls can play with anybody.
You know, it's amazing to me how many people are willing to write off a 23-year-old Zach LaVine that, oh, he can't play.
Yeah.
It was all style, no substance. And, mm-hmm. and he's not the same player after the ACL injury. You know, it takes a while to fully return from that. And I think, as you mentioned earlier, another year removed from the ACL surgery, we will probably see a much better Zach LaVine. Now, he does need to build chemistry with Chris Dunn and Lowry, and the whole group has to work together. I think that's the biggest challenge. You're going to have so many young guys trying to fit together and trying to juggle minutes and things like that. But in terms of strictly a talent perspective,
mm-hmm.
it's a pretty talented roster right now.
Very talented, and you look at it, all the guys can handle the basketball, meaning that all of them can be an offensive threat at any time, and that's going to spell a lot of trouble for every team in the NBA, because you just can't game plan against guys that can do everything. You know, you don't have a guy that, oh well, he's just a spot up shooter, oh he's just a guy that can drive to the rim. No, all of these guys can shoot. All these guys can dribble. All these guys can get to the basket.
Mm.
Even the seven-footers, Lauri Markkanen, Wendell Carter can do it at 6'10". So, you know, that's why I think this is remarkable that the Bulls are what, second to last?
Third to last
yeah. in the
only
Eastern
Atlanta
Conference?
And Sacramento were projected to win less games.
Oh my God, this is crazy.
I'm telling you, if you're getting out to the Las Vegas area for vacation, do yourself a favor. Put some money down on the Bulls.
I'm calling
on the
my
over.
Brother. He lives out there.
Yeah. We'll have him put some money down for the both of us as well. When you look at some of the other totals on here, one of the ones that caught my eye was Houston. Last year, they had the best record in the West. They had 65 wins.
Yeah.
And Westgate only projects them as a 54.5 win team. And mm-hmm. a lot of people are making a big deal about the fact they lost their defensive-minded
yeah.
forwards, Trevor Ariza and Luke Mbah-Mute. The news became official on Tuesday that Carmelo Anthony is going to sign with Houston for the veterans minimum, $2.4 million. What's your take on Houston? I mean, are they really going to win 11 less games next year?
No, I don't think they'll lose 11 less games. I think that they'll be in the 60 area.
Yeah.
You know, still. Yes, Trevor Ariza is gone, who is probably their best defender. Besides their center, but you know he's guarding guys out on the wing. I think that's where they're going to get hurt most
right.
of all, because we know Carmelo Anthony is not going to guard anybody.
Yeah, there's going to be issues with who has the ball, because Carmelo throughout his career has been known as a ball stopper. You've already got two guards in Chris Paul and James Harden who want the
yeah.
ball in their hands. I mean, we saw how Carmelo struggled playing with two other all-star players in
yeah.
Oklahoma City. I don't know if the situation is going to be that much different in Houston.
It'll probably be worse because you got James Harden, who likes to keep it in his hands and do whatever he does with it and dance with it. Also, Chris Paul. So, you know, it's going to be upon the Houston Rockets coaching staff to draw plays to get him the basketball so that he gets involved, because, you know, he could get lost in the shuffle out there, much like he did in Oklahoma City. And then, you know, Clint Capella is running the pick and roll with James Harden and Chris Paul, so he's got to get his touches as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be real interesting to see how Carmelo Anthony fits in there.
In the projections by Westgate, they had San Antonio with the ninth best record in the West, projecting their win total to be 43.5.
Wow.
And Portland, a team that was the number three seed in the Western Conference playoffs, although they did get swept by New Orleans in the first round, only projected to win 41.5 games. They returned their backcourt of Lillard and McCollum, and they lost a couple of bench guys. But it's interesting to see the feeling that Portland's going to take a big dive, and the Las Vegas bookmaker here also has San Antonio missing the playoffs. I just think with Greg Popovich as the coach, you know, they've had some changes, obviously. They traded Kawhi Leonard. Mm-hmm. Tony Parker now signs on with the Charlotte Hornets. Mm-hmm. But DeJounte Murray, I thought, took a nice step forward last season. They drafted Lonnie Walker IV out of University of Miami. Mm-hmm. I think Popovich will still find a way to get San Antonio in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think that he'll get in the playoffs. The team that I think that won't get in the playoffs are the New Orleans Pelicans.
Really? You know?
Yeah, because, listen, Rajon Rondo was a big part of what they did. And a lot of people, yeah, he's older now. He's not the guy he was back in Boston. But he made that team go, I mean, at the point guard position, you know. So I think that they don't win 45 games. I think that the New Orleans Pelicans are the guys that slip out of this and San Antonio gets in.
Minnesota Timberwolves projected to win 44.5 games, which would be eighth in the Western Conference. Do you think they'll be better in year two with Jimmy playing with Karl-Anthony Towns and Wiggins, or do you think that there's already some dissension growing within that group?
Yeah, but I think that they'll be better for this reason. I think that they'll be better because they'll have a Derrick Rose coming back that wants to prove something to everybody. He went through a tumultuous year last year, came out in the playoffs, played great basketball. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't even playing his position. They played him off the ball. I think with the addition of Derek being able to break down defenses, he's going to make it better for Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, and Jimmy Butler if Jimmy can accept that. You know, that's the one thing, the one caveat with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Where is Jimmy Butler's head? Is it in Los Angeles or is it right here in Minnesota? He turned down a $110 million extension, so you don't know whether he really wants to be a Timberwolf.
Well, once again, Jimmy betting on himself. He can make a lot more money if he waits till next year to sign that extension. Of course, then you run the risk of injury, which Jimmy experienced last year.
Yeah.
Let's go back over to the East. The top seed projected to be the Boston Celtics. Westgate has their over-under win total at 57.5. Philadelphia 76ers are second at 54.5, tied with Toronto, also at that figure. I don't know if you noticed, Toronto signed Greg Monroe yesterday, which he'll take Jakob Poeltl's place with that second unit. Mm-hmm. That's still a deep team. If Kawhi Leonard comes back, Toronto might be a bit more of a contender than some people are giving him credit for.
They might be, and here's the reason what I said Dwayne Casey shouldn't be fired. It's not the coach. Toronto, they don't have a superstar player at this point. Yes, DeMar DeRozan is a very good player. He's a star, but in my opinion, he's not a superstar. He's not a Vince Carter. He's not a Tracy McGrady type that can push you over to the next level. Well, now they have that in Kawhi Leonard. So I can see that where the Toronto Raptors could win 54 games and still be a real solid contender in the East. But here's the thing. Is Kawhi Leonard going to be there past the trade deadline?
Is he fully invested?
Yeah, is he fully invested?
Is he fully healthy? We don't know the answers to those questions at all.
He may come up with another injury.
And remember, Danny Green was a throw-in in that trade. He'll be the starting shooting guard, replacing DeMar DeRozan, who went to San Antonio. So I think Toronto could be an interesting team to watch. Another team that's going to be interesting is Milwaukee. Mike Budenholzer, who created that, you know, three-point heavy offense in Atlanta, now we can see what he can do with the Greek Freak and if they can become a better team. Because they've been kind of – they made the playoffs the last couple of years, but they never really were a factor.
Right.
It'll be interesting to see if Budenholzer instills a system that takes advantage of Antetokounmpo and also lets some of the other guys shine as well.
Yeah, he has to. And listen, I think that where the Milwaukee Bucks – I don't think they have had any problem scoring. I think that they need to be able to stop people. And that's one of the things – that's the next step for Giannis. We all know that he can score. He finished among the top five in scoring this season, I believe. And we all know he has MVP talent. Now, the next evolution of his game is defensively to make his whole team better. And he can be the anchor on defense because he's 6'11", has a tremendous wingspan, can guard all five positions. He needs to be the guy in order to establish a defensive presence. If they can do that, I can see Milwaukee doing some things.
Last thing I'll mention about the over-unders, the Cleveland Cavaliers, 12th in the East at 30.5 wins. Mm-hmm. I think that's low. I think they go over that because people forget, even though LeBron left and he's the best player in the league and all that stuff, they do have guys with a lot of playoff experience. You know, you're looking at Tristan Thompson, Kevin Love, a backcourt potentially of George Hill and Colin Sexton, who I really like, who played well in summer league. Mm-hmm. You know, they still have got the Kyle Korvers and the J.R. Smiths of the world who aren't great players, but then the guys they brought in trades last year, Rodney Hood and Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance Jr., those guys should get a chance to shine some more. Do you think they're a playoff team or not a playoff team?
They're not a playoff team. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like, you know, George Hill, nice player. He's okay, you know, but I never thought of George Hill as even a starter. Mm-hmm. I thought of him as a bench guy. I don't think that Kevin Love is the Kevin Love he was back in Minnesota.
Yeah, so he can't go back to that guy.
No, right. No. And that's the guy he has to be in order
for that team to
make the playoffs. Yeah. You know, and Kevin Love is the biggest name they have right now.
Right.
Jordan Clarkson didn't really show me that much. The only guy that I'm really impressed with that was in a doghouse Rodney Hood.
And he hasn't signed yet.
And he hasn't signed. So
they just traded for Sam Decker. Like, that's going to scare Rodney Hood and his agent into signing.
I don't think that'll scare him. And also, you know, Tristan Thompson is, I mean, these guys were good with LeBron.
Right.
Let's see how good they are without
him. So they're paper tigers, right? They had the real tiger propping them up, right?
Right. That's what I think. Do I think they'll lose? I think they'll win over 30 games.
Yeah.
But I do not think that they're a playoff team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, before we get out of here, you spent last weekend in Vegas. Your son, Phoenix, had his last AAU tournament.
Yeah.
Young kid is really showing out, isn't he?
Yeah, he's playing. He played well, you know, but I was glad that he went out to see the best competition in the country. Because now he realizes that I just can't play video games, then go to the basketball court and show up and be the best. So he realizes that he has to work. Even though he held his own out there, and in a couple games, he outplayed a lot of those guys.
Yeah.
So, but he still has a lot of work to go. And I'm glad he had a baptismal, so to speak, when he went out there.
Now, I know your sons, Phoenix and Coda, went to school deep into June. When do they have to go back to school?
They go back in another month.
Okay, so they got a little more summer.
Still got a little bit more summer, still a little bit more Fortnite to play, you know, without me getting on about it. So
now that you got your vacation done in Vegas, what's on Kendall Gill's schedule from now until the start of basketball season?
Flag football. I'm the coach now.
Are you really? What age group are we talking about?
Yeah, and I'm coaching my son's 11 U team and mm-hmm. Coda's, my other son's 9 U team. So
you're all-time quarterback. You're showing them what it's all about.
All-time quarterback doing everything, man. You know,
dude. We also should mention that we had a visitor to the station this week. Will Purdue's son, Hunter, who's going to be starting high school, just met Kendall, and he's about 6'3".
Yeah, he's
and
about
before
6'3",
he's done, he'll probably be about 6'10".
Yeah, he probably will be, man. He's a huge kid, man.
Yeah, but he said his favorite sport is lacrosse. But
yeah,
I told him, once the basketball coach sees you walking the hallways, you might be taking up another sport as well, because your dad played a lot of years in the NBA.
That's true. And he has the height. If he wants to play, he can play.
Well, it sure is fun watching your boys and Will's son. I mean, it's just fun seeing the next generation coming up and doing some of the things their dad enjoyed as well. That's going to do it for this edition of the Bulls Talk podcast. Remember, you can find all of our shows at NBCSportsChicago.com/podcasts. You can also listen and subscribe at Apple, Google, and Stitcher. We'll be coming at you again real soon. We don't know exactly what our schedule is going to be because this is kind of the slow period of the NBA. Yeah. But if anything breaks, we'll be at you again real soon. So long, everybody.